Good evening, everyone. Good evening and welcome to the Board of Education special meeting for Monday, October 26, 2009. Before we get started with the meeting, I just want to give a little overview as to how the evening will progress tonight. As you all know, this evening it is approval of our final budget and to set the tax levy. This is probably one of our most important school board meetings of the year. And because there are a lot of numbers, it can make it very difficult to follow. So we're going to go through a process for making this, hopefully making this as easy as possible for the community and the board to follow. We'll start the meeting with public speaking, followed by approval of minutes. And then the administration is going to give a brief budget overview as to where we are now with the budget. A number of things have changed since we last spoke about this publicly, so we want to bring everyone up to speed. And then there are a number of options that have been submitted by both the administration and board members. And so we're going to be reviewing each of those options individually. We're going to proceed through 1 through 6, as we know now, unless there are more, talk about them individually, have a bit of a presentation, and then we're going to vote on each of the options individually. Following that, we're going to move to any additional questions or discussion, and then take about a 15-minute break while Mr. Cass goes back and recalculates all of our numbers based upon what we do tonight to ensure that we have all of the proper numbers for approval of our final two motions, which is approval of the budget and setting of the tax levy. At that point in time, we'll move through those motions like we would with standard motions. We'll make motions. If there's additional discussion or questions on the motions, we'll entertain that, and then we will vote. So with that, we will start the meeting. I move to approve minutes dated October 12th, 2009, and September 29th, 2009. Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that passes 7-0. Next on the agenda is public appearances, and there are no public appearances this evening. So we will then move into adjustments and amendments to the previously approved 2009-2010 school district budget, inclusive of all funds, and I will turn the meeting over to the superintendent.
Thank you very much. I begin with some thanks this evening. First of all, Eric, Donna, and Angie, for all the work that you've done over the course of this year to develop this budget, working with many people that have input into the budget. I appreciate that work. I also want to publicly acknowledge the work that the board has done, working with the administration each step of the way. The board has sought creative solutions to both maintain our programs as well as to mitigate the tax impact. It's also safe to say that there have been many changes that have occurred along the way, some of which occurred long into our planning, which made the various options very difficult. But I do want to commend the board for working with us in a manner that allowed us to seek options both to maintain our programs as well as to mitigate the tax impact of this budget. What I briefly want to highlight is the year that we have gone through in developing this budget. And what I've provided the board is a summary document of 2009 budget highlights, which lay out the various things that have occurred since the November 2008 referendum. And I want to just very quickly just highlight a couple things there, mainly to illustrate how much has changed along the way as we come together tonight to finalize the 2009-10 budget. In November 2008, as you well know, the Board of Education had an operating referendum, which thankfully was approved. Behind that operating referendum was the goal of being able to hold our programs in place, meaning that the things that wouldn't be added, but we wouldn't face cuts through that past referendum, and that we would proceed to create a strategic plan that would define our direction going forward. And I also want to convey for the public that the board throughout that had a focus on mitigating tax impacts and finding creative solutions in order to avoid significantly increasing taxes. Part of that was arrived at through a creative accounting recommendation, through the establishment of a capital expansion fund 41 approval, which you'll note second on that listing of details that have occurred throughout the course of the school year. Not to get into the details of that, but merely to point out that the board opted for the creation of a capital expansion fund with the goal of mitigating tax increases. In May of 2009, the preliminary budget was approved. I won't go through those dollar amounts, but to point out that the tax rate that was projected for that preliminary budget approval was $10.14. And then the changes began to happen. In June, near the end, 2009, the Wisconsin state budget was approved, which had significant decreases in state aid and categorical funding, affecting the school district with a 15% loss of state aid and an overall negative impact of $12 million. In July, the Board of Education, working with the administration, began to focus on that negative impact and approved a $2.8 million cut in the areas of Board of Education contingency, elementary salary accounts, and substitute employee accounts. At that point in time, the tax rate, which was anticipated earlier with the May preliminary budget of an increase of $10.14, became an increase of $10.73. The goal, though, was to continue to work together to be able to find solutions to bring that tax rate down. Interestingly, at the same time we were working in that area, we faced additional funds through ARRA funding with Title I and IDEA increases. What's important to point out for our public is those monies could not be used to fill the hole created by the decrease in state aid. So that it really posed a very interesting time for our school district, where we're facing an opportunity to provide additional resources while we're cutting in the overall budget. In September of 2009, the news about the decrease in property value, where we were anticipating a 1.5% increase in property value. In fact, for the first time, at least in our records, there was a decrease of 0.34%. Along with that, the board continued to examine what else could we do, because there was a $12 million negative impact and only about $3 million had been arrived at through those solutions in July of 2009. At that point in time, the Board of Education agreed to restructure some of the prior debt, which had an effect of not having to levy for $6 million of that $9 million remaining. And my point is, the board throughout this process and working with the administration has looked to find ways, creative solutions, to continuously bring down the tax impact of a very changing budget situation. At that point in time, we went from a tax rate of $10.73 to a tax rate of $10.40. And so again, the purpose was to try to bring that down with that refinancing of the district debt. And the final thing that's noted is our third Friday count, where we had an increase over what was actually projected, and that is what brings us to today. As a result of all of that, we're still at $10.40 before the Board of Education tonight looks at and discusses some additional options. And so my point in going through this is, a lot has changed since that referendum, but the one thing that I don't believe has changed is the board's wanting to work with the administration to find creative solutions along the way to not leave that tax impact where it was, with that negative $12 million impact. So with that, I want to turn it over to Eric for some very brief introductory comments about where we are today.
Sure. Thank you, Dan. What I'd like to touch on is kind of where we are since all of those factors have come into place for the school district since May of 2009, when the board first approved the preliminary budget. Before I do that, I do want to introduce the two folks that are with me this evening. I think the board does know Donna Williams, who's the Director of Budget Planning and Accounting. And next to her and between her and Marge, I should say, is Angie Lee, who is newer to the district, and she's the Assistant Director of Budget Planning and Accounting. And I think it's important to introduce those two, as they're really the ones that are the brains behind all the documents that you see here this evening. They put a lot of time and effort into balancing the budget, creating the budget, and carrying stuff forward. So they are here not only to be a resource, but to allow the board to see them, since they are the ones that are doing a lot of this work. So where we are this evening, and jumping ahead a little bit in your packet that we'll touch on a little bit later after we run through the items that administration has put some information together on, is a total all-fund tax levy of $239,317,190. What that represents is a levy increase of $12,986,905, which is a 5.74% increase on a levy basis. That takes our tax rate to $10.40. And the impact on a $250,000 home currently is an increase of $147.50. Now, I know that I will keep my comments brief, as I know that a lot of time probably will be spent on the items that were brought forward as ideas for the board to consider to mitigate the property tax increase. So that being said, turn it back over to Ms. Silvera.
Thank you very much. I think if everyone is ready, that we can move into discussion of the options. And I think our preference would be to go one option at a time, and starting off with maybe an overview of what the option is, with information on advantages, disadvantages, and what it would do to the tax situation if approved. So I'll turn it back over to the superintendent or Mr. Cass.
Yeah, Eric will walk through the options.
Okay, thanks.
Is it fine to just take them 1 through 6 right in order?
Yeah, we'll do one, discuss it, vote on one, and then go to 2. So just start with number 1.
Okay.
Unless there's a reason to do it other, whatever makes sense to you.
Okay, that's fine. Option or item number 1 is to the option to reduce the 2009-10 property tax levy by $513,880 by eliminating the Fund 80 to Fund 10 transfer for district overhead. Annually, the school district transfers an amount of money. This year it is $513,880 from Fund 80 to the general fund to support the general operations that are attributed to community service programs within our facilities. That's really aimed at utilities. It's aimed at other initiatives, accounting practices that we have to track a lot of those expenditures. So when you look at all the overhead associated with the operations of the community service fund, it comes up with a transfer to support the general operating fund of $513,880. So the concept of this is to eliminate the property tax levy of $513,880, therefore lowering the property tax by an amount, the property rate by a little over 2 cents, which would have an impact on the tax bill of a $250,000 home of $5.53. The logistical, the downside to this is probably the board's commitment to using fund equity out of the general fund of that same amount, because what happens is we transfer that revenue to support the operations, and that's a revenue that's currently in our budget today to help balance the operations of our general fund. So without levying that property tax and without transferring that property tax then to the general operating fund, we would need to support those expenditures that are created through the community service fund by the the general fund equity. So that really is the only really downside to that. I don't know if there's other questions or things you need me to go over, but that's kind of the gist of that one.
Are there any questions or comments on option number 1? Mr. Hughes, followed by Ms. Moss.
Yeah, I have a question for Eric. A number of our proposals do call on spending down some of our equity fund. Can you tell us from a financial management perspective, are you comfortable with the extent to which we would be drawing down our fund equity as a result of the various proposals this evening?
My level of comfort is really laid in the fact that we were able to have an additional $14 million of fund equity over the last 2 years. I think that having a positive addition to fund balance annually is a positive thing for a school district, especially such as Madison, that for many years, probably 6 to 8 years, had a commitment to going the opposite direction. And one of the negative impacts of that was a bond rating downgrade from Moody's. And Moody's has since looked at our school district and put us on a positive outlook, which is a definite advantage to our school district. So to answer your question, I think that the utilization of fund balance is a strategy that needs to be looked at, and it's a strategy that I think falls in line with needing to decrease property taxes. And when you associate it with one-time revenue sources that need to happen, I think that it's a little more, makes me a little more comfortable. If it was something that was ongoing that was needing to be funded by fund balance, I'm not as comfortable with those solutions, and that's why a lot of the options we looked at the one-time utilization of fund balance and buying the board a little bit of time to decrease property taxes today.
So it won't impair our credit rating to your expectation? Well,
I would not assume that it would, but again, that would be up to the Moody analysts and those people that look at our school district. But that would not impair us in the short term when we look at doing any more bond refinancings during 2009-10. That wouldn't be realized until the 10-11 school year.
Thank you.
Ms. Moss, followed by Ms. Mathiak.
Okay. One of my concerns, along with the idea of using our fund balance, is our ability to levy for an amount next year. And I think that for some of these, we have to be very, very careful that we don't cut items from Fund 10, I hope I'm correct, because that would mean that the following year we would not be allowed to levy for that amount of money. Is that correct?
Currently, as it stands, that would be true. How do I explain this? Every school district under current revenue limits has the ability, as we talked about, I think probably 3 or 4 months ago, we looked at a strategy of shorting our general operating fund property tax levy and carrying forward our authority. Because we have our maintenance referendum, which is by definition non-recurring and does not exist after the 2009-10 school year, every dollar that we would short in the general fund would come directly from the maintenance referendum by definition, because the DPI looks at it and says, the first dollar that you under levy would come from your non-recurring authority, where all of our other revenue under revenue limits besides the maintenance referendum is what's considered recurring authority. And when you have recurring authority, you're able to carry that forward from 1 year to the next. Now, there was talk about a fix to that would allow school districts to carry forward recurring and non-recurring authority period of time to include the 2011-12 school year. From our current understanding, and Joe Quick brought forward this, that's pretty much dead at this point in time. So the school board's ability to under-levy their general operating funds, including the maintenance referendum, likely will not exist as authority in the future. So to kind of answer your question, what we tried to do with all of these items, and you'll hopefully see that embedded in all of them, is looking at ways to maintain our general operating property tax level at the highest level we can and still give the board the ability to mitigate the property tax increase of a lot of the commitments that we currently have and just kind of the way that our budget is shaken out for 2009-10.
And in terms of that level, it's within the authority of the current funding formula. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we were very careful not to have a negative impact on that going forward, to look at other options outside of that.
Okay. So just to take that a step further, for people who might be watching and thinking about Fund 80, when we do remove funds from Fund 80 and move them over to the general operating fund, that does not affect our ability to tax, because Fund 80 is outside of the revenue cap.
That'd be correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Mathiak?
Mr. Cass, correct me if I'm wrong, but first of all, it's my understanding that there are some things that we could, that are non-fiscal, that would benefit our bond and other ratings, right? Like having a policy on our general fund equity balance.
Yeah, that is true. That's something that we just talked about last week. Every time that we go through a bond rating call, Moody's asks us for a copy of the district's policy on fund balance and what. And it's either some districts have an equation that will maintain a 10% of our operating budget as a fund balance annually. Some have a more lax policy on fund balance and what it's to be used for and what a district believes is important about a fund balance. The point is Madison doesn't currently, our school district doesn't currently have a fund balance policy. So that's looked at as a little bit of a negative. I wouldn't say that we've been downgraded or anything, but Moody's continually asked for that, and we continually say that we don't have one. So that's something that we'll be bringing forward in spring at the latest to look at an approval of a fund balance policy for Madison schools.
So that's something we can easily correct without foregoing this particular option?
Correct.
I mean, that's all, you know, that's a non-fiscal plus. Okay, thank you.
Ms. Moss?
Okay, I just wanted to make one more comment that, like I said, I'm not excited at all about the idea of running down our fund balance, especially given the situation that we're going to find ourselves in next year. But I plan to support this option, but I just want everyone to please keep in mind that we are looking at a very, very serious situation next year, and at some point we do need to protect that fund balance. I mean, it's a very, very difficult decision that we're having to make. So,
are there any other questions or comments? Okay, I'll make a motion for option number one. I move to reduce the 2009-10 property tax levy by amending the 2009-10 budget by reducing by $513,880 the amount to be transferred from Fund 80 to Fund 10 that covers expenditures within the Fund 10 budget that are attributable to Fund 80 operations, reducing Fund 80 levy revenue by $513,880 and using general Fund 10 equity in the amount of $513,880 in place of said transferred funds to cover said expenditures attributable to Fund 80 operations. I'm not done. Just breathing. Reducing the overall 2009 tax levy by a projected net of $509,119.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mr. Winston?
Mr. Cass, just wondering, in terms of obviously making this budget adjustment, is there anything programmatically that would change through our Fund 80 type programs, any services or at all, anything like that? I just want to make sure.
For this item alone, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That budget option number one passes 7-0. But option number two, Mr. Cass.
Item number two is listed as an idea to freeze new Fund 80 program development by eliminating $300,000 in Board of Education contingency funds. The impact of this item would decrease the tax rate by 1.29 cents and lower the tax bill on a $250,000 home by $3.23. The idea behind this is that historically the Board of Education, like they do in the general fund, has had purview over $300,000 that's been listed as Board of Education contingency within the community services or Fund 80 fund. What we're doing is bringing forward the idea of eliminating that $300,000 expense line item that the board has historically had. And along with that would be the reduction of the property tax levy that would offset that expenditure by $300,000.
Basically, in doing so, we'd be freezing any new Fund 80 program development.
Correct. The flexibility that the board has had in the past for a community group or a project that would be community-based to come forward in front of the board and be funded by this $300,000 would no longer exist for the Board of Education and in the Community Services Fund 80.
And again, this is something we have not taken advantage of in
for at least the last couple of years. I think that the board has used it in the past, but over at least the last couple of years, and I don't know.
Yeah, a few years ago, you added a summer school program, so we utilized the monies for that.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Moss?
Is this the fund that was used for, in the case, I know it probably set up in April, which would make more sense than now, set up in case health insurance premiums went up or in case utilities? Is that a different fund?
That was in Fund 10.
Oh, okay. Okay, so this is not... Okay.
Mr. Hughes?
If we decided as a board that we wanted to fund a program in addition to what's already funded, in the absence of the contingency fund, then we'd need a supermajority vote to amend the budget? Would that...
I believe that's correct, because then your only other source of funding would be equity.
So the bottom line on this seems to be that if something came before us that we wanted to fund, it would just take five votes rather than four.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Winston?
Again, the same question as I said before, in terms of this would be at the board level of the Fund 80 programs, not at the staff level in terms of MSCR programs the board is already funding. This is different monies, the contingency funds for the board on the board level.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes 7-0. Go to option three, Mr. Cass.
Option number three is listed is to reduce the 2009-10 property tax levy by using $488,922 in general operating fund equity for debt service obligations, which would be referendum approved debt service, Fund 39. This strategy applies to the 2009-10 fiscal year only, but provides for alternative solutions in future budget years. The impact of this on the tax rate would be a decrease of $2.11, and the decrease on a home valued at $250,000 would be $5.26. This is very along the same lines of what the board approved in terms of the refinance and restructuring of school district debt. Just takes it a step further. We maintained a need to levy $488,922 in the Fund 39 or referendum approved debt service fund for the 2009-10 school year. This would eliminate any property tax levy in the referendum approved debt. It is important to point out that Fund 39 and referendum approved debt is by statute outside of revenue limits because you took that project and or that debt to the public. They gave you the authority to tax for that debt outside of the revenue limits. This is bringing this $488,922 back under revenue limits by using the general fund equity, again, to mitigate the tax impact of our overall budget for the 2009-10 school year.
Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Ms. Moss?
Okay. One of the disadvantages that you have listed here is saying that we'll need to increase property tax levy to meet the obligations next year. So just by this amount or probably more?
Well, as it's slated right now, the school district has a referendum-approved debt service payment next year of about $7.2 million. So the disadvantage that I see with that is you're creating more of a gap between where we are in $488,000, and I understand it's not a lot, but the more that you're decreasing that and you're jumping up by $7.2 million, I just want the board to understand that you're creating more of a gap between what we're going to need to levy for our property tax next year to meet our debt obligation by using fund equity. Now, I understand there's many, many more conversations that need to happen between now and next April or May in 2010 for the 10-11 budget, but that's just one small disadvantage that I think I felt like I needed to put on there so the board understood exactly kind of the logistics of what that meant.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 7-0. Option number four.
Number four is listed as the idea to reduce the 2009-10 property tax levy by $230,263 by deferring payment on the Walgreens tax settlement for 1 year. The strategy applies to the 2009-10 fiscal year only, but provides time to respond to the Walgreens settlement through appeals, payment outright, or alternative cuts in 2010-11. This reduction on the total levy would decrease the tax rate by a little less than a cent, and have the impact of $2.48 reduction on a home valued at $250,000. The idea with the Walgreen tax settlement is kind of outlined is the board has the ability to create a little bit of flexibility. We don't always get flexibility here as school districts in the way that we do our budgets, but we technically can pay for this bill, the $230,263, if we decide to in the 2009-10 school year. It would come out of the general fund equity, and the board would have the ability to do what is called a property tax chargeback in the 2010-11 school year. So that authority is outside revenue limits and would exist in the 2010-11 school year for the Board of Education to levy at that point in time. This is no different than an annual thing that the Board of Education does for anywhere between $200,000 and $400,000. We receive smaller increments than $230,000, but individuals and businesses that don't pay their property tax bills to the city, we are in turn billed for those individuals, pay back the city, and then retax for those funds the following year, because the board by statute is guaranteed 100% of their property tax levy. So this is just a strategy to be able to think about how we're going to address that $230,000 over the next year, but still the board would have the authority to levy that property tax in the 2010-11 fiscal year.
And when are you going to start looking at options? Is that something that will happen right away?
Yeah, we've talked some about options already, and so we need to put that into a more formal plan, including a direct appeal to Walgreens. It's, you know, one of the things that is on our list.
Any questions or discussion on number four? Okay. I move to amend the 2009-10 budget by levying a total of $85,944,090 as the $85,944,090 as the property tax chargeback amount within Fund 10, and using general fund 10 equity in the amount of $230,263 to cover the costs of paying the district share of the property tax reassessment of Walgreens property within the city of Madison, reducing the overall 2009 tax levy by a projected net of $184,998, and with any decision on levying for the Walgreens settlement as a possible tax chargeback in 2010 deferred to the 2010-2011 budget process. Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes 7-0. Number four, or number five, Mr. Chaos.
Number five, and please bear with me on this one. This is one of the more complicated items that we are bringing forward, so I'm going to do my best. I was talking with Dan Mallon quite a bit today. He was my sounding board to try to get him to understand exactly the moving pieces that are associated with this. The proposal reads, it would be an attempt to freeze non-essential maintenance spending by deferring or foregoing $3,080,000 in maintenance referendum spending during the 2009-10 school year. Any essential maintenance projects to be funded through existing maintenance funds or other existing district resources. The amount would again be $3,080,000, which would reduce the property tax levy in 2009-10. Have an effect on our tax rate of 13.27 cents and have an impact of decreasing the property tax bill on a home valued at $250,000 by $33.16. The concept behind this is kind of twofold. The school district entered into, I shouldn't say an agreement, but went to the community in May of 2005 and asked for the authority to exceed on a non-recurring basis revenue limits by differing amounts over a five-year period, and the last year would be the 2009-10 school year. In the 2009-10 school year, the board is able to exceed the revenue limit authority by $5,491,000, of which $500,000 is directly attributed to technology improvements and infrastructure needs for the 2009-10 school year. That leaves $4,991,000 that the board would be able to levy outside, again, outside of revenue limits to support maintenance projects in the school district for the 2009-10 school year. To date, out of that $4,991,000, the school district has used all but $2.1 million. So the concept is that we would forego for a period of time any of those projects that would be considered non-essential. And we can get into some ideas on what we think would be non-essential versus essential projects if the board would feel that that's necessary. Now, the next logical piece to try to explain is how do you get from only 2.1 remaining out of the $4,991,000 to $3.8 million. That leaves $980,000 of projects that have actually already been spent and or encumbered. So the board approved a lot of projects over the summer that, because we do a lot of projects over the summer, these major initiatives, and we've actually spent all but, again, $2.1 million. So the $980,000 has already been spent and or encumbered on projects. So the concept would be for the board to approve the use of fund equity out of the general fund to pay for the $980,000. The idea then would be the $2.1 million that the board would forego levying a property tax for in 2009-10 would be brought forward either as a package, item by item, or in grouping that the board could then take action on to approve if they believe it is an essential project for the school district going forward. And the outcome of that would be a budget amendment to utilize fund equity during the 2009-10 school year. So I hope I explained it correctly, and if there's questions, which I'm sure there might be, I'm more than willing to answer those.
Any questions or comments? Ms. Moss?
Yeah, I'd actually like to propose an amendment to that. I would propose to replace the amount stated as $3,080,000 with $1.5 million. With the $980,000 general fund equity still to be used to cover the cost of the maintenance projects for 2009-2010. And I don't know if that's friendly or unfriendly or how that will go.
Well, this time the motion hasn't been
motion.
Made.
Oh, we haven't done the motion yet? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Okay, well, there it is. So after the motion, I'll speak up.
Mr. Hughes.
I would have my own motion, which is similar to Ms. Moss's, but it would be that we do not forego the $2.1 million in authorized maintenance referendum spending, and such, so that instead of deferring or foregoing $3,080,000, we would only be deferring or foregoing the $980,000, which does not, as I understand it, represent maintenance referendum authorized funds. And I could speak to that if anyone is interested.
Mr. Cass?
I just want to be clear, and again, it's probably because I didn't explain it correctly. The $980,000 is part of the total district's $4,991,000. So the concept is we have the authority to exceed revenue limits by $4,991,000. We've already spent all but $2.1 million of that. So we have $2.1 million that's unobligated. Now we're jumping from 2.1 of projects that haven't been done, and we're adding another $980,000 to that to get to a total reduction that's brought forward of $3,080,000. So the $980,000, I just want to be clear, and hopefully I am, is part of the referendum-approved authority for the maintenance projects that would be brought forward. The concept is we would forego taxing for $3,080,000, but we've already done projects equaling $980,000. So we would have to find a way to fund those projects. And the idea was to use general fund equity to fund those projects. So I just want to be clear that the $980,000 is within the $4,991,000 that the board has the authority to levy.
Well, my goal was that we would not permanently forego any of our levying authority that was authorized as a result of the maintenance referendum. So in order to accomplish that goal, what would the amendment have to be?
In order to accomplish that goal, there would be no reduction, so the $3,080,000 would not be reduced.
Okay. But we could still devote $980,000 that's currently in fund equity to the unfunded portion of the projects that have already been committed to.
You certainly can, but in going back just a second to what you had said, you would be foregoing $980,000 of authority that the community gave you in May of 2005. So you still have purview over that $980,000. The only reason that $980,000 is split out is because those projects have already been done.
Okay.
And we need, again, a funding source if we eliminate $3,080,000 of that authority to fund those projects that, again, have already been accomplished.
Okay. So then I guess rather than an amendment, I would be opposed to the proposed amendment.
I think we should probably make the official motion first.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose the
no.
Translation. My microphone is not good.
We won't. Can we fix Mr. Winston's microphone by next week? Yes, we do. Selectively shut it off. Okay, I'm going to make a motion, then we can have our additional motions. How's that? I move to amend the 2009-2010 budget by accepting the administration's proposal on option number 5 to reduce the overall 2009 tax levy by a projected net of $3,051,437, with any decisions to fund other non-encumbered 2009-10 maintenance projects out of the general fund equity being deferred to a later date.
Okay, and as a quick correction there, you stated 437, I think it's 73.
I'm sorry, 473. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on this?
I just wanted to hear about Beth's in relation to Mr. Hughes.
Okay, I'll make my amendment again.
Maybe you should just explain it. Before making it a friendly, I think we'll maybe get a clarification on the difference of the two. I think, is that what you're asking for, Mr. Winston?
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, the reason that I want to do this is because I'm very uncomfortable, especially given the news that the legislature is most likely not going to take up the bill to allow us to defer the maintenance tax levy ability for next year. I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of just losing this. I think we all have stories about the buildings. I mean, we've used 91% of this fund already, and the public did give us the authority to use this in 2005. They passed the referendum allowing us to use this these funds. My idea was not to replace all of it, but in a tax mitigating idea to have it so that the rate would increase to $10.27, which would be an increase of up to $115.71 on the $250,000 home. And you know, I know that that's very high. I know it's much higher than we promised last April. And if it were a perfect world, I'd love to say that I don't want to take any money out of our fund balance. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people. I know there are people, even who are working in the schools, who really do want us to think hard about raising their taxes. I mean, the city's already done it. MATC has really done it, 8.8%. And, but I just feel that if we don't do this, we have a lot of buildings that are in really bad shape, and if we defer these projects, I think it's going to get worse. It's going to get more expensive. So that's just my opinion on wishing to have the amount that we will levy for the maintenance referendum, and then also take the $980,000 from fund equity as had been proposed in the original motion. Does that make sense?
So that basically halves the tax bill increase, Mr. Cass?
I think so. That's what I was talking
that
to
portion
Don
of
about is the piece about the use of the $980,000 and where that fits in to the motion and what that does. I'm trying to get to what the total, what we would be foregoing out of the $4,991,000. And I understand that she would reduce the $3,080,000 to 1.5. So therefore, you would be foregoing $1.5 million of your property tax authority. But then the second piece of that, of the continued use of the $980,000 of general fund equity and how that impacts that, I'm trying to formulate in my brain, and that's what I was talking to Donna about, on how that fits in, because I want to make sure that we capture it correctly as we bring forward later this evening, if this does pass or if there's questions on this one, what the actual tax flow impact of that use of 980 and what that idea right. does to that. That's what I'm trying to
Okay, and my thought behind that was to give us an additional $1.5 million on top of the $980,000 that we've already spent since April. So, or, yeah, I guess since April.
If I could ask a question, and maybe it'll help me formulate so I'm understanding it correctly. The board has the authority to increase property taxes due to that referendum in May of 2005 by $4,991,000. Are you saying reduce that by $1.5 million? So your property tax levy would then be $3,491,000?
Okay, my thought was to give us the authority to raise $1.5 million. So that we would have that amount of money to use for projects. So maybe I hope I, maybe I didn't say that in my, replace the amount stated with 1.5 million.
I don't think that you're saying it incorrectly. I'm just trying how to capture it correctly.
Yeah, Eric, my understanding would be that the in the first bullet, where right now you're reducing it by $3,080,000.
Right.
Replace that with reduce by 1.5. And so.
Which is fine if that's the intent.
Yeah, and I think it is.
Well, it's so close. I mean, yeah, I, that's very close to, right, to $3,080,000. Okay. So we would then be given the authority to raise $1.580. If you just if it was easier to say reducing it by 1.5.
No, I think the 1.5 is fine, Beth. I'm just trying to make sure that I understand the impact. Because let me try to explain it. So the $3,080,000, what that does logistically is takes the board's authority of $4,991,000 and reduces that to $1,911,000 because you'd subtract out the $3,080,000. What I believe you're proposing as an idea is to take the $4,991,000 and subtract $1.5 million, which would make it $3,491,000.
I just reduction.
Want to make sure.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
So the board would then be taxing $3,491,000.
I think it's the opposite of what you said, actually. I'm sorry.
It's okay. That's
Yeah, it would be the other, you would reduce it by the amount you just said, and we would be levying on the 1.5.
Okay.
Do you understand, Donna? What does that make sense to you? Okay.
I was just trying to figure out the 980 equation to the 1.5, if that's included in that.
Can I take a stab at it?
Yeah.
I think I get the gist of this. So if you look at option 5, the way it's written out, it would read, we would reduce the Fund 41 levy revenue by $1,580,000, right, on the first bullet. Last bullet, it would reduce the overall 2009 tax levy by a projected net of $1,551,473. Everything else stays the same.
Okay.
Right. The intent is to bring it down, but not zero it out.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
So what does that do to the tax number, which is really important?
Well, roughly, no, it brings it up $17.88, the number, and it brings it up the rate $10.27. Just the numbers, right, that you
That's paid. Correct, yeah, okay. Because the impact of the $3,080,000 was $33. So by that action, if I'm understanding it, by putting back some of the authority would increase that by about $17.
Mr. Cass.
So it cuts the 33 in half, basically.
Yes.
It cuts the 33 by
$16. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Okay. Mr. Hughes, would you like to compare and contrast your thoughts?
Well, based on my previous colloquy, I think that my position is that while cutting it in half is better than cutting it by $3 million, I'm opposed to the current proposal in its entirety. I am opposed to foregoing our authority to levy taxes for maintenance that was authorized by the maintenance referendum, because I think that's what the voters directed us to do, and I think that we need to do maintenance, and I think that if we ever expect to go back to the voters for another maintenance referendum, I don't want to have to be asked the question, you didn't even bother to spend the money we authorized for you last time. Why should we do this again? So, and let me just add that if we don't approve this option, but approve option 6, as I understand it, our tax levy over what we approved in April would go up about $1.5 million. And given that we are dealing with anywhere from a $7 to $9 million hole that was blown into our budget by our friends in the legislature, I think that's pretty good.
Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Passman. Ms. Cole.
I guess I have a number of sort of mixed feelings, because I don't believe that we were directed to levy that much. We went to the voters, and the board went to the voters. I was not on the board at the time, and made a case for the need to invest in our schools and in our facilities. What I don't have in front of me today is a list of the projects that are outstanding, the areas where we have achieved economies and what we've done, the areas of unexpended funds for the referendum that we could revisit to see if there's a different way of doing it. And so, you know, I take all that into account, and I have to say that this isn't 2005, it's 2009, almost 2010. Economic circumstances are very different, and they're very different for many people. In 2005, most people were getting raises. We didn't have massive layoffs, we didn't have massive pay freezes and cuts and threats to the economic security of our retired citizens, either through declines in investment funds or other things. We didn't have Social Security freezes on cost of living increase. Those were different times. We've now expended 91% of the referendum that we were authorized to tax for. If we were talking about foregoing 50%, I would feel very differently. But at this point, I think we have done many of the things that were mission critical when we started out. In fact, it's my understanding that those were towards the top of the list. So what I have to look at is not, personally, I can't imagine that taxpayers would be furious with us for saying we're really concerned about the amount that we're increasing your property taxes, so we're going to increase your property taxes. To me, it's more logical to imagine that at a point where many, many people are suffering economically, anything we can do to provide relief is going to be accepted as a genuine gesture and something that will be viewed favorably when we go back, again, having expended 91% of the funds, and come up with a way, in fact, to pay for almost $1 million of projects that we could tax for. So, you know, the other part of me also is mindful that we are going beyond what we projected when we passed the referendum last fall, and I have to take that into account. No matter what we do, we're going beyond what we said we were going to do, and it's not our fault. But this isn't, you know, this is the hand we're dealing with. We're in the fiscal year. we had the cuts after the fiscal year. We had the cuts after we finalized the preliminary budget in April. So now we're trying to really work ourselves into a frenzy to try to figure out ways to do the least amount of damage either way. The fact is the maintenance referendum goes away next year no matter what we do. This isn't recurring authority. It's just, it goes away. And the question is, do we tax to the last drop of taxpayer blood, or do we say this is a really tough economic situation, let's find some alternatives to get things done, including reevaluating projects that are still on the books as needing to be done. If we're talking about, for example, parking lot repairs, I think that can wait. Sorry, you know, it's not mission critical. If we're talking about broken boilers and water pipes and septic systems, that is mission critical. But I don't know what these things are because it's been a while since we looked at that list. In the back of my mind is the reality that whatever we do, we are adding to what MATC and the City of Madison and Dane County are doing. And even if it's 8% for MATC, the dollar amount is nowhere near what we're about to do to the taxpayers with our property tax levy, even at its lowest level. So I just have to be mindful. And if a board majority is willing to support Ms. Moss's amendment, I would live with that. I would prefer that we go with the original proposal and take a look at each project that comes before us to see if it makes sense.
Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Cole. Me.
This was the hardest one for me because I certainly agree with Ms. Moss. I've been trying to find your reply to me in my email because I didn't bring it with me tonight. I asked this question over the weekend. Could you repeat the answer that you gave to me when I questioned this, please?
Our putting together these options were based on wanting to give you ideas on bringing that tax rate down. I mean, that was the focus, understanding that we also wanted to not have a negative effect on the general fund going forward and the authority. So the options overall were fairly limited in terms of mm-hmm. what would allow us to accomplish that. And so that's the basis, recognizing that, you know, there could be other ways to approach this, but we had that, you know, Fund 10 goal in mind as we did that. So, that was the long and short of it, is could we provide options for the board's consideration on the taxation right. side?
Given, but this particular option, when I said that, and I said to you I was a little concerned about the maintenance of our buildings,
right.
you replied that we didn't have to worry about that because?
Right. The one other
okay.
part is the options going forward would bring those projects back based on that one-by-one evaluation. You know, what's essential, and use fund equity to be able to fund them. That's the specific piece that I referred to in that communication, correct?
Yeah. You know, anyone who's been into our buildings and, you know, looks up at ceiling tiles and other kinds of things, we're beginning to see how much our schools need.
Right.
And this is an example when, you know, you get the state to do things to your funding. This is what happens to our buildings.
Right.
And, you know, little projects like replacing, you know, the tile in an LMC so it doesn't leak or something like that, can we still go forward with some of those?
I think so. Building Services has a budget for ongoing maintenance of facilities that would be more of the, you know, 10 to 15 ceiling tiles here, 20 ceiling tiles there
okay.
type
yeah.
project. I mean, what we're talking about here are roofs, windows, boilers, parking lots, sidewalks,
yeah.
major
okay.
initiatives.
All right. Okay. Given, and I kind of agree with Lucy on this a little bit, I think our voters would be very happy to say you didn't take complete advantage of what we gave you. You looked at the situation and you decided to go against that. Because when the voters give us the approval to do things, it doesn't mean we have to bleed them of every penny. You know, it doesn't mean we have to take everything they give us to do it with. And given the set of circumstances that we exist in today, I feel that we have to save as much money for the taxpayer as we can. So I will support the original option.
Ms. Cole,
followed by Ms. Silvera. And Ms.
Yeah, just a few points. I would like to support the option as it was first presented, and I think there's a compelling argument that we've actually covered a lot of these projects. I actually did bring it and went through and looked at what we've done, and I think when it comes to visiting schools, there are a few things that always kind of come out, but for the most part, a lot of this has to do with the staff that's in the schools, the amount of custodians that are able to be there to clean and to help kids, especially in elementary and middle, and in high school, you know, as well, that a lot of this is things that I would hope at some point, if something is serious enough, that the district would come back, and then it's worth spending the equity. I would also want to clarify two points, and one is that when I myself was working for the current referendum to go over, I always would say this is authority. It doesn't mean that it's written in stone, and I took that very seriously. That's a pledge that we will make the best judgment. And at this point in time, we've been hit by the state, or the lack of state support, that this is an authority that I think that we have some leeway with. And then finally, I was looking back at my notes, and I know that at some point, and I don't know if this has come to pass, but we were hoping that the stimulus plan would take up some of the, we had like a $41 million budget of different maintenance projects, and where is that in this?
That's a
discussion.
Interesting point, because we applied for and received allocations for two stimulus programs. If I'm understanding your question correctly, one was for QZABs, which are qualified zone academy bonds. We received $2.7 million of authority to do renovation and construction projects at our school. Our schools that have free and reduced lunch populations of 35% and less. So our allocation on that is $2.7 million. So we can actually go to the marketplace and finance projects over a 10-year period with 0% interest. The other piece is we have, and I believe this number is correct, $1,080,000 approved for qualified school construction bonds. That's a new program that was started by the Obama administration as part of the stimulus package funding. It allows us to do projects at any school without the 35% caveat and carry those loans for, I think it's 10 to 12 years interest-free, and repay those. So we do have some areas that we'll be bringing forward over the next probably 3 or 4 months, looking at ways to address our maintenance needs going forward.
Well, I think that's, and thank you for having that right off the top of your head. I think that's an area where as a state, we don't take advantage of federal funding for various reasons, and here's an instance where the feds are willing to invest in our schools, and I think we should take it, and it is a larger part of this conversation. To me, it is. It doesn't mean that I don't take it seriously when I walk into some of the schools. They're old schools, and they need help, but at this point in time, I think we can come back and revisit this. So, thank you.
Okay, myself, Ms. Mathiak, and followed by Ms. Moss. I too support the proposal as it's written and was prepared by the administration. Maybe it's time to this would be a good time to say a few words as to why. The amount of tax bill decrease on option number 5 is $33.16. That's a lot of money on decreasing the tax bill. And by cutting it in half or a third or whatever, would still have a tax impact on the average home of over $100. If we support the option number 5 in its totality,
in addition to what we've supported before. That would bring that down below $100, and to me, that's important to the community. I wanted to say a couple of words because I think tonight's such an important night where we're really being asked to balance the needs of the schools and the needs of the community. And although these needs are very interrelated, I mean, it's very true that the strong public school system is integral to a thriving community. In past years, when we've sat up here at this meeting, our decisions have been much more straightforward than they are tonight. We're being forced tonight to make a decision and votes something that has no good answer. We have a broken state funding system that's wreaked havoc on the school district. And sadly, this year, as Ms. Mathiak has stated, our community is faced with a downturn in the economy that's really dramatically affecting the pocketbooks and the livelihood of many in the community. We hear the word pay cuts and furlough. Furloughs way too many times. And this is really a major consideration for how I voted on the options that have been before us this evening. If we go back to when we came to the community in November with a referendum, part of our message was that we would develop a plan that would minimize the referendum's impact on property taxes, and we did that. Unfortunately, many variables have changed since that time, and our original proposal was no longer viable. But personally, as I've talked with people since that referendum, I've been delivering the message of property tax relief and trying to keep a property tax lower. And I believe that I need to be consistent with what I've been telling the community. There are many options that we've been presented tonight, and my vote is consistent. My votes have been consistent and will be with supporting these options and keeping the taxes lower. I have been concerned about deferring expenses to next year. I have been concerned about the non-essential maintenance. Next year is just going to be as miserable. There's no doubt about it. The one thing that's different between this year and next year is next year buys us a little bit of time. And I think we have to commit to starting tomorrow, initiate part of the strategic plan that talks about evaluating programs and services. I think we have to audit our processes, making sure we're good stewards on the use of our resources. I think we have to look at everything and so we can start working on what we're pushing off until next year. We do have that time, which is probably the only benefit in any of this. As I said earlier tonight, there's no good answer, and I think the heart of the crisis is the broken state funding system that's negatively impacted our district. What is done for the current biennium. We have to, basically our time is better spent figuring out how to move ahead than continuing to say, oh, woe is me. But however, we do have the future to look at, and that's beyond the next 2 years. And we have promise after promise has been made by the legislature saying they're going to fix the broken system. The promise after promise has been followed by broken promise after broken promise. And there's been no fix in sight from our legislatures. So we have to hold our legislators accountable for the future. We have to work now in the next 2 years. As a community, we have to hold these people accountable, and really our future, our balance, education, and community both depend upon doing that. But tonight my focus is on the amount of money we're passing on to our community through taxes, and that's why I have chosen to vote in favor of all five options thus far. Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Moss.
Okay, I just wanted to sort of share another piece of my thinking on this particular one, because I agree, we don't want to get into the business of demolition through neglect, and I think we are trying to be good stewards of our buildings. One of the reasons that I've honed in on this one, and especially since we have such a small amount left to levy under the maintenance referendum, is that there's an item that was in the maintenance referendum that I've been following very closely since the referendum passed, and that was $1.8 million to Tuck Point East High School. I can go into detail if you want about why I would be following that, but it does have to do with my personal life, having spent the last 9 years having the daily seminar on historic buildings and what goes wrong with mortar and tuck pointing and roofs and drainage systems. I see that the work was completed on East. I am confident that we did not spend $1.8 million to do it. And had we done that, there would have been a lot of scaffolding all over the exterior of that building. That's a lot of tuck pointing. My preference would be to figure out exactly what is on that list of outstanding projects, what needs to be done, and what they actually cost, because I'm absolutely positive that there is a lot of money in that one item that we never spent or spent for other purposes that were part of the maintenance referendum. But I would prefer to know what we're spending the money on before we encumber it than to blindly say we're able to do this, so let's do the tax levy. That makes me very, very uncomfortable at this particular moment in history.
Ms. Moss?
Yeah, I was wondering, Mr. Cass, what kind of projects will the QZABs and the QSCBs cover? Okay.
By all means, you want to read through some of the ones?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
I'm officially a nerd. It's very similar to maintenance. And I think you had given us this, and it was just a list, so that it's not in a priority, but it includes the replacing boilers, installing wind turbines, a lot of lighting, believe it or not, AC, steam to hot water, insulation, energy management systems, you know, that. So it really looks like, and there were two other documents that I have, that we have, that the things that weren't done look like, for the referendum, look like paving, doors and hardware. It doesn't look like, there's not a lot of roofs on there. So not speaking to the East, but just the fact that a lot of roofing was done. A lot of energy efficiency things were asked. Phase two improvements after the maintenance referendum. So they went through and they did a lot of, they included the repaving of the different parking lots in that.
Okay.
So it's quite a list. And then in addition, I do have the referendum project list, and like I said, most of it has a complete check, so you know, and I can go through that, but Lincoln, Senate, Franklin, they all have kind of an ID number, so the roofs have been taken care of.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to go into individual. Oh, am I up?
Or? Were you finished?
I'm not going to go into individual, you know, schools and what they need or don't need, but I would expect, if we were going to do what I had suggested, that we would do the same thing that we would do if it weren't passed, except that we'd be using fund equity. The administration would come to us with projects that would be high priority, and then we would vote on them. And you know, that would be, because I think that would be the way to prioritize them. So that was my idea of, if we had that extra money, which, you know, at this point, it sounds like we're going to be using fund equity for any of the large items that do come up over the next year. And I just wanted to make the point, too, that this has been very difficult to have looked at these numbers. Also, when we consider last year, when we had the very false positive. We had the $4 million that came to us, and so the tax levy was very low, and it was very false. I mean, it was really kind of a pie-in-the-sky kind of thing that wasn't real. And so now we're looking at what is real, and it's such a big difference from last year. I think that it's just taken everyone by surprise, and it's kind of like a kick in the gut. So I hope that everyone will also keep that in mind when you're looking at what we are finding that we have to do this year. So,
Ms. Passman, followed by Mr. Hughes.
Well, some of us are sort of concluding, although we still have something else to do here. But I wanted to start by thanking the community for that referendum last year. You showed us, and you showed the state and our state leaders, that this community is willing to pay for its schools. It's willing to educate its children as well as it possibly can. Unfortunately, our state leadership didn't believe that our state believed this about our children. And this is the unfortunate circumstance that we are in today. It's given us no choice. The state has given us no choice. The leadership of the state, I would say, is reduced to malfeasance of duty when it comes to their obligation to the children of our community. It is deplorable what they have done to education in this state. And I don't mean just Madison schools. I mean all over the state, where people are just trying to come up with bits and pieces to keep programs going for their children. It's deplorable. So that's where I stand on that. And as far as our options tonight, to me, the difference was between worse and worser. I've said that, and that's what it is, and we have to do the best we can. But I think you better keep your seatbelts buckled, because next year is going to be even worse. And I don't know what you're thinking, but I didn't go into education and spend 30 years in it to see the destruction of my school system. So I assume that the school board and I will be fighting for every single penny we can give our children in the next years, unless the state decides to take up its obligation and learn about funding of education in the proper manner that it should be doing it in. Ms. Mathiak said before dereliction by neglect. I like that term.
Demolition
by neglect. Okay, it's even better. But demolition. This is what happens when a school system has no money. It's demolition by neglect. And that neglect is neglect of our children and their future and their education. And it's not just the school buildings and the infrastructure, it's the entire system that we have to look at. So we do what we're doing tonight with respect for the community that gave us that referendum. And I hope that community will realize that we're trying our very, very best to keep this increase in property taxes to an absolute minimum in order for us to survive as a school system. I'm sorry we had to do it. I wish we didn't have to do it. I hope you'll understand that we have no choice. So thank you again to the Madison people for giving us the chance to do this.
Mr.
Hughes. I will also support all the options.
Thank you. I just had a few comments following up on my earlier ones. First, I think everyone makes a lot of good points. I think that this is a difficult issue, and it's certainly one on which reasonable people can disagree and have and will. I do think, however, that I'm very uncomfortable with looking for additional cost savings this year in the area of maintenance, because I think that maintenance is something that if you skimp on that, it ends up being a false economy because it costs you more later. And I appreciate that there may be projects that aren't absolutely necessary that may have been scheduled, but we aren't locked into doing those projects. We can certainly do whatever projects we think are most important for the maintaining of our facilities. And I know that we came up with $41 million worth of needed projects when we filed the application for federal funds. So I don't think the case can be made that we simply don't have the need for maintenance. I'm also really concerned about next year. It's not going to be as bad as this year. It's going to be a lot worse. If we pass what we are proposed to pass tonight, we are pushing off expenses to next year. And I realize there's reasons to do that, but we will be looking at if we pass what is proposed this evening and what we expect for next year, we're looking at a $25 million gap our $25 million proposed increase in the tax levy this year as opposed to next year. And we're not going to be able to close that gap by looking for efficiencies, even though we should and we will. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to be looking at a huge problem next year, which is why I think that we should try and smooth things out a little bit by not pushing off into next year the maintenance expenditures that we are authorized to have this year. So I respect everyone's views, and I understand your point, but I disagree on this one.
Okay, so we have motion number, we have a motion on the table for option number 5, correct?
Is there a second, Barb?
That was Ms. Mathiak.
And so, yeah. The question becomes whether Ms. Moss wishes to offer her amendment at this point, at which point I would suggest that it ought to be voted on as an amendment rather than trying that friendly amendment process.
I believe I counted at least 4 people who said they were going to be voting on the original motion. I think I did. Yeah. So I don't see any reason to. I'll just withdraw the motion or the amendment.
Mr. Winston.
Just wondering, in terms of superintendent and Mr. Cass, again, staff-wise, again, I think you know where the goal is in terms of the end goal of the board and its relationship to the community and things like that. What was the discussion like related to this item? And I guess, you know, we're seeing things. I see things as a board member that, as staff, perhaps you don't see, and you see things as staff that I definitely don't see. And I guess I'm asking a question, in essence, to say, you know, in terms of maintenance and where we are in this process and things like that, is this the best option of the worst options? Is this something, can we live with it? I heard some things that were said. Ms. Cole produced the list, and and I don't know if I'm putting you in a bad spot at all or anything like that, but I guess I'd like to hear your opinions, sort of staff opinions, about this particular item.
If you look at the cover sheet with the budget options presented on them, and one of you referred to this already in your remarks, and you look at that tax bill decrease, keeping in mind that we put these together with taxation ideas in mind. I mean, that was the motivation. You can see that one is the biggest of the four, of the other four. And so one of the things that we were looking at in relationship to the $9.82 where this was at one point in time in terms of the increase, was to try to find a way to see if we could bring this under $10. I mean, that was our goal. Oh, $100. I'm sorry. No. Eric, thank you very much. He's looking at me like, no, that isn't right. We were trying to bring this under $100. And that's where actually that on that option that where we had to look at that the second bullet now, that $980,000, correct? That's where we had to even come up with that additional amount to make that happen. And so that's really what was behind it. I mean, this was not what's the best plan programmatically. This was a plan that was offered to give you ideas on the taxation side. And so if we didn't do that one, we were not meeting that goal of under $100. I mean, that was our goal. And that's what we're presenting to you for your consideration.
Thank you. I went to a meeting today. I was a guest speaker at the Madison South Rotary, and it's a smaller group of Rotarians. And unfortunately, I figure I had lead off with the kind of the bad news, and just kind of talking about property tax increases and things and why tonight we're doing what we're doing. There are people who weren't happy, but overall I think that the message that the board continues to send to the community is people, more and more people are starting to understand, where we are. And, but at the same time, the school district has to run, and it has to run efficiently and effectively and for all the staff members that are involved. And that's why I asked the question to the superintendent, because, when it all comes down to it, superintendent is running the day-to-day operations of the district. And so I guess I would have, because it was put as a, I feel more, I guess, again, these are all bad choices, but I guess I feel that the fact that you put it forward that we can do what we can. I guess one of the things, a procedural question would be more, and I guess I'd say I'm just waiting for somebody to catch lightning in a bottle or something. I'm just, Lucy throws something out there, Ed. No, that doesn't help. That doesn't help. And it doesn't help me as the fire investigator either. So that, I guess, just waiting for, something, somebody, whatever. But it didn't happen. I should say it didn't happen. It doesn't produce the type of results that, would be palatable for everybody. And, I know, I understand $100 that people, I think that's it's a good mark, but, unfortunately, given the situation, given the economic climate, the fact that it's over zero will cause people to not necessarily care for what we have to do this evening. So I guess, for this evening, in terms of procedure, I just wanted to know if Ms. Moss's motion was able to be analyzed by staff. Mr. Hughes, obviously, his motion was able to be seen by staff and kind of been recognized, and as well as Ms. Mathiak and everyone else. So I guess, again, we're in a tough position, and I guess I would lean toward the staff. How do you feel about this situation? And that's why I keep asking the questions that I ask. Do these have unintended consequences and things along those lines? So.
We do understand the need for maintenance as well. We think that option of bringing proposals back for your consideration is has merit to it, and you'll judge them one by one with the rationale that we provide. But if we didn't do these, we would have been facing options that would have affected the general fund, would have affected programming. And so in that context, I have no problem casting them as the least worst options at this point in time.
And that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the table in a second, so we will move to vote. All those in favor of option number 5?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
And that passes, did you say aye?
I said
aye. That passes 5-2. Mr. Kasich.
Sorry.
Do you want to do it? Do you want him to do it? This is a proposal for Ms. Mathiak.
You want me to or you want to? It's up to you. It's your brainchild.
And I want to thank Mr. Hughes for some of his questions, because one of the things that I was not fixated on as much when we started out was the issue of maintaining our ability to levy on the Fund 10 side, which is something we have not had since I've started watching. Well, that's not true, because I've been watching district budgets for about 20 years, but certainly since the revenue limits came into play, we have been really strapped, because there were so many things we knew we needed to do for our schools, but we couldn't, whereas we had some flexibility with Fund 10. Right now, we're in the odd position of having the authority to tax under Fund 10, and certainly the legislators who passed the budget have been generous in suggesting that that's what we do. I think we've already articulated why we don't necessarily think that's our best option. And we are looking at least worst options. But within that, the second thing I started looking at was ways that we could find economies or look at Fund 10 and move things that are in Fund 80 that really could be legitimate Fund 10 expenses back to Fund 10 so that we retain that taxing authority moving forward. Because that's the one we're always, ironically, the one where we have the most flexibility. We don't have to fight at all. We don't have to go to referendum. We can just vote to do the levy. Fund 10, we have to go to referendum to increase it. So I would prefer that we take the tax liability from the Fund 80 side and move it to Fund 10 as much as possible, because that helps keep our authority up in ways that it needs to be up. So after we got the news on property values, I did what we've done in the past in April, and that is I went back to the budget book and went through line by line by line in a really sick way. And one of the things that struck me was that where we used to say there's got to be a big pot of flexible money there somewhere, a lot of that money's gone. We took care of that in amendments the last several years. What I did find were a couple of things. One was just a calculation error that allows us to, and I'm looking at the sheet that has me now completely befuddled. A calculation error that overestimated security assistant salary and benefits by $141,000. That's in Fund 10. If we cut that, just cut that, then we lose that taxing ability. If we transfer security assistance back to Fund 10 from Fund 80, which is where they probably should be, then we retain that $141,000 in taxing authority, if I'm not mistaken.
That would be correct.
So it's sort of a fun game. Anybody can play. We also have in Fund 10, as we did in Fund 80, contingency funds that we haven't used. Again, I'm not sure we always knew we had them. But we have almost $293,000 in board contingency, again, that we can use to move expenses and positions back to Fund 10 and retain that taxing authority into the future for educational purposes, not community service. To me, that's win-win. And then the last is, it's come to my attention and others that two of our high schools are charging for parking, which is fine. One of the high schools has been paying off a debt to refinish their parking lot with their parking fees. The other has enjoyed those fees as sort of extra income. And so I'm proposing that we recoup those student parking fees towards the costs of refinishing and other improvements to the parking lot to that school so that it's on the same playing field as the other high school that charges student parking fees. So if we do all of those things, we can achieve $449,290 in efficiencies in Fund 10, and we would transfer... Eric, you need to explain this part because I don't know how we got up to 505,885 with this.
So the 449,290 and 76 cents, sorry, would be transferred from Fund 80 back to the general fund, and that would be the Play and Learn program, which would be 2.76 FTE plus regular budget, a custodian that would be transferred back, one FTE. It's two FTE from the security assistant and one clerical position from media production. So that equals your 449,290.76. Then how we get to the 510 total savings, which gets down to the 505,885, is from eliminating from community service facility improvement funds. Historically, these funds have been on an as-needed basis. Example, how they've been used in the past is room 103 here, where we redid that room to provide a better camera system and all those types of things, so the board can utilize that room for committee meetings and meetings of that sort. So that room was redone with those funds. We're suggesting, as we did in some of our other items, that we eliminate, at least for the 2009-10 school year, improvements that would be paid for out of the Fund 80. So that gets to a net levy reduction out of Fund 80 of 510616.76. And it's made up by two things, eliminating within Fund 80 and transferring from Fund 80 to Fund 10.
Oh, Mr. Hughes, followed by Mr. Winston.
Oh, yeah, I have a question. First, thanks for the work that went into this. This is great, and I appreciate that you spent all that time looking through the stuff and found these things, which are terrific, and I appreciate it. What I don't understand is the changes that are outlined in the top of this page seem to have the effect of reducing the Fund 80 budget and increasing the Fund 10 budget to the same extent. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
So why do we have at the bottom the separate funding sources?
Those funding sources at the bottom, Mr. Hughes, are to identify within our existing budget that's before you this evening where the funds would come to transfer from Fund 80 to Fund 10. So as Ms. Mathiak talked about those three separate options, they equal the 449,290. They're there to show the Board of Education where we created efficiencies and created pockets of funds that we are intending to use in the general operating fund to fund those four separate areas that are at the top of the page. So the bottom of the page are where things are being reduced in terms of expenditures in the general fund, and at the top of the page is where Fund 10 will be reduced by those amounts.
I get it.
Which will have a
Thank
net
you,
impact.
Thank you, that clarified it. I appreciate it.
Mr. Winston?
Yes. Again, thank you, Ms. Mathiak, for the work that you did on this, and Mr. Cass and your staff as well. Just wondering, in terms of the unintended consequences, again, the Play and Learn program, and I realize we're moving forward with a 4K program, but Play and Learn is different. What is the consequence of that in terms of, obviously, in the budget for the following year, if this shifts to Fund 10, shifts to Fund 10 this year, what about next year and future?
Well, one of the assurances I give you based on your discussion tonight is we have to begin next year's budget with the conclusion of this year's budget.
Right.
And we've already begun those conversations. We've made no determinations about any programs in Fund 10 that would be negatively affected because of the situation next year. In addition, we are looking at, for the following year, haven't determined that, the viability of moving Play and Learn from Fund 10 district funded to Title I funding to see if that's possible. Okay. And so we have some options in mind, haven't concluded that, but again, my assurance is that we have to get going to look at next year's budget, but we've made no judgments whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. And that wasn't to say, I just want to be clear.
Sure.
That's all.
Understood.
Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Moss.
You know, I want to be really clear that all of these things that are proposed in terms of the things that would be coming out of Fund 80, they're not cut. It's simply a transfer of where the taxing authority resides, because if we do not do that, we will lose the authority to tax for these programs, and if that's my understanding.
Yeah, I mean, the way I would think about it is that we have these line items in our budget in Fund 10, and the board has a contingency. You know, the miscalculation is in there, and we don't need the 141 to pay our current employees in Fund 10. So what would happen is we would be projecting possibly booking $450,000 to fund balance. So the philosophy is, if we're going to tax for it in the general fund, we should transfer some expenditures to obligate those funds towards a purpose rather than an unobligation, which would roll into fund balance at the end of the year.
Ms. Moss?
Yeah. I think this is great. I was wondering about the reduction in the Board of Education contingency, and how is that different from option two that we already passed?
Sure.
Am I really off?
The board has flexibility all over the place. No, I'm just kidding. They have two contingency funds. They have two contingency funds, one in the general fund and one in Fund 80. The one prior was elimination of the contingency fund of $300,000 in Fund 80. And what this is actually a reduction to the board's contingency fund. When we go through our final budget analysis and balancing at the end of the year, the number of kids are counted, the revenues are projected, all the grants are accounted for, and fees are in the budget. At the end of the year, we normally have a little bit of a plus or a minus. At the end of this budget balancing, which just happened again a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I should say, is that we actually had an excess in revenue of about $300,000, which is quote-unquote taxing authority. And that rolls into a board contingency fund, which we're assuming or recommending as part of this would be reduced back down to its original level of about 300,000 or 5 FTE that the board could use at their purview this year. So we're not eliminating the board's contingency in the general fund. You all still have about 300,000, a little bit more of flexibility to look at adding staff or programs or things like that in the general fund. It's simply obligating those funds that historically have rolled into that board contingency fund to balance the budget, and obligating those for a purpose rather than unobligating them.
Okay. So the Memorial parking lot revenue would be something that will continue next year, too. That's another source, be it very small.
Yeah, correct.
That will continue, right?
They get about $15,000 to $18,000 a year, depending on the number of students eligible and the number of kids willing to pay and stuff like that.
Okay. And okay, so I want to make sure that I think I understand. I'm fairly certain that I understand, but I'm wondering, when we moved this into Fund 10 and therefore give ourselves the taxing authority, was that because we were not taxing up to the levy already?
Our budget that we brought forward is to tax to the full revenue limit authority of the board. What the concept is that, again, instead of having these funds that were identified as not really necessarily associated with a program in the general fund, but the tax dollars are available, is to begin to look at a way to obligate those funds rather than going through an exercise of increasing fund balance by $450,000 at the end of the year. So it comes back to a couple months ago, we talked about ways to identify efficiencies within our budget and begin to spend the funds that we're taxing for and receiving from the state. And this is just another way of doing that, I think.
Okay, so the third bullet is the fourth bullet is very different from the second bullet.
Which bullet?
Right.
In terms of this proposal versus the...
No, this within option six. Because moving the play and learn and the personnel costs from Fund 80 to Fund 10...
It simply transfers expenditures that we would tax for and expend out in Fund 80 to Fund 10, through four. The facility improvement is eliminating the budget line item for facility improvements that we would tax for in Fund 80. So there's no transfer. We're not going to be spending facility improvement funds out of Fund 80. We're not going to tax for those anywhere. We're simply recommending eliminating those facility improvement funds that have historically been levied within Fund 80 and done things, for example, renovating room 103.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Ms. Mathiak, followed by Ms. Cole.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because I think there was an implicit part of Ms. Moss's question that didn't get answered, and that is, if I understand correctly, given when we took the hit from the legislature this last summer, and when we took the hit on property values, our authorization to tax under Fund 10 went up. Is that not correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that's what this is about. That's what we're doing. We're taking advantage of this window where all of a sudden we actually can levy property taxes for educational purposes and moving things, programs, to that side of the ledger.
Okay.
Because that way we keep it into the future.
That's where I was trying to figure out, is where this gap and how did it get there?
Yeah, and why weren't we doing this before?
Right.
Why did we go to... The levels at which we could, and I think that's one of the things that Mr. Cass might want to point out is that we are now authorized to tax at substantially higher levels than we are currently going to levy. This is just a way of reducing the levy and retaining the educational fund authority.
Ms. Cole?
Well, that's sort of what I was going to talk about, was taking advantage of our opportunities. sports cliche. So I just wanted to ask a couple questions on page 33. It's organization code 591. This is that original document, Donna, you sent October 22nd, I think.
Does this ties into the motion?
Yeah. Okay. Just that's the Fund 80 reserve. That's what it's, and that's 300,000. So that's the contingency, correct? Okay. I just wanted to double check for my own benefit. That's it.
Any other questions? Do you want to make a motion, Ms. Mathiak?
I'd be delighted to as soon as I get my mic on. I move to reduce the 2009 property tax levy by reducing community service fund facility improvement funds by $61,326, by shifting $449,290.76 of community services fund 80 expenses to the general fund 10, by reducing the fund 80 levy by $510,606.76, and by using the sources from within general fund 10 to pay for the costs reallocated to fund 10 from fund 80. And they include revenue from the memorial parking lot, an adjustment to security assistance salaries and benefits, and a reduction in the Board of Education contingency fund, reducing the overall 2009 tax levy by a projected net of $505,885, or around $5 on a $250,000 home.
Second. Motion in a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes 7-0. Now we will take a 15-minute break. 10 to 15 to allow recalculation of our numbers for our final two votes. Welcome back, everyone. We have two final motions and votes on the agenda this evening, and that is to move and approve the amendments to the 2009-10 school district, and then, of course, setting the tax levy. Before we move into the motions, does anyone have any final or any questions or comments? Ms. Mathiak?
I want to thank everybody in the district who put in a lot of time and energy and thought in answering questions and trying to come at solutions that this was not easy. I've watched the district budget for 20 years. I don't remember a moment when the cuts were coming in as we were starting a fiscal year after we had approved a preliminary budget. I don't remember a year where we had the type of drop in property values that we had had to readjust for as of the third week in October. And it's not easy. I want to thank everybody on the board who provided ideas and options and asked questions and pushed us all to work harder to come up with a solution that, as somebody said, it's the least worst solution. They all are not good. None of these are good, but I have to say I'm feeling better than I was about 4 weeks ago. So thank you, everybody, and thank you for allowing us to get it done and get out of here at a reasonable hour.
Okay, motion number one. I move to approve the amendments to the 2009-10 school district budget as presented in the budget amendments and tax levy adoption document dated October 26, 2009, only to the extent that said amendments are not in conflict with the separate budget amendments already passed by the school board at the same meeting. With all budget amendments passed since May 6, 2009, resulting in a 2009-10 school district budget
that is amended to decrease revenues by a total of $768,477 and increase expenditures in the total amount of $4,549,472 as compared to the budget adopted by the board on May 6, 2009. This motion encompasses the amendments presented in the October 26 document as summarized within 1. The budget amendments reflected in chart number 1, page 3. 2. The revenue and expenditure amendments reflected in chart number 2, page 4. 3. The technical accounting amendments reflected in chart number 3, page 5. 4. The budget amendments to balance the 2009-10 budget reflected in chart number 4, page 6. 5. The additional budget amendments reflected in chart number 5, page 7, and the number 6, the amendments necessary to effectuate the revenues, expenditure, equity carryovers, and reserves as are reflected in the table on page 2.
Second.
A motion and a second. And I have a question. Why do we have that bold statement in there? Are we expecting conflict? That we voted on things that are in conflict?
No, but that was to make clear that because you were now adopting a package of amendments that didn't assume any earlier amendments, that you have to kind of back out of this document, out of the October 26th document, you have to back out provisions like the example given at the bottom about the property check, the property tax chargeback for Walgreens. The October 26th document assumed that you would tax for that, whereas now by amendment you have voted not to tax for that. So anything that's a conflict with the earlier amendments take precedence over what's in the October 26th document.
Okay, I got it. Ms. Mathiak?
I have a question for Mr. Cass and his associates. You can answer this, honest. You'll know the answer. But this amendment says that we are increasing expenditures by about $4.6 million. Am I correct in understanding that the expenditure increases reflect things like federal money, grants, gifts, things that have come in? It's not property tax increases by $4.5 million. I heard that's correct, but the mic wasn't on.
That's correct.
Good question. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes 7-0. I move to approve for certification a total 2009 tax levy in conjunction with the 2009-10 school district budget in the amount of $234,240,964, consisting of the following specific subcomponents. General Fund, Fund 10, $218,955,521. Property tax chargeback, $85,945. Non-referendum debt, Fund 38, $65,250. Referendum approved debt, Fund 39, $0. Capital expansion fund, Fund 41, $6,835,765. Community services fund, Fund 80, $8,298,483. Total tax levy, $234,240,964.
Second.
Motion and a second. And that translates into the impact on the average $250,000 home taxes of $92.83. Is that correct?
Correct. And the rate will be $10.18.
With a tax rate of $10.18. Any questions? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes 7-0. Any other questions? Sure.
I would really like for one of us to write an op-ed to the newspaper and tell them what we've done, because I think this is a really big deal that that we were able to bring this all the way down to this number. And considering everything that we did tonight, also without cutting programs. So that's just something to throw out there.
We could put that on the agenda for Monday.
Okay, to discuss. That's right, we can't.
All right. Done
that now. Okay, anything else? Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn? All in favor?
Aye.
Night. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You guys.
Angie, Donna, thank you. Eric?